Yeah, no, it's like,
I know the feeling. Oh, okay, you just got that.
This is mine.
Yeah. Okay.
And I just want to briefly mention that Reverend Lipiansky is the Rosh Yeshiva, the Yeshiva Greater Washington, a person who's known in the Mir circles. He's the son-in-law of the former Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir, and is known for his career in general, but particularly he's become famous in the realm of Machshava, and every time we've had him in the Yeshiva, Bachan truly enjoyed him, so I'm hoping that will certainly be the case again today.
Just as a sort of an opening remark, it says in the Rishonim, they speak about Moshe going to be a shepherd, and the Rishonim remark that you find all big people, David HaMelech and the Avos, they were shepherds before they became leaders and before they became Gdolim. So Rabbi Bechai and others say that the significance of that is that shepherds have a lot of time away from people. And they have time to think and time to be misponing and mispoded. And that's very helpful because when you're in the scene, in the action, so it's hard. You think less, you focus less on yourself, you're busy. If a person needs time to reflect and to become himself more, he needs that type of thing. So, you know, coming up here and seeing the plastic sheep down on the bottom, so that's, I guess, the shepherding part of it is kind of a little, you know, plastic sheep don't need all that much attention. But the sense of kind of, it's good a little bit to be, to put a little space between yourself and the hubbub of life. And it gives you time to think and to be with yourself and to develop a lot. And I think it's one of the tzlachos of yeshiva here is that it's a little bit of an island, and that contributes a lot to development. Besides, obviously, being an island is not enough. You need to have that the input that Rebbeim gives and so on. But the coming here, I always enjoy that sense of it's a little bit of a reminder of the ovals and the shepherding and so on. I want to speak about an inyan that comes up in the parasha, but let me preface it with a point. You know, tefillah is something that is not easy for us, for many, many, many reasons. But one of the things is the basic question of, does Hashem know? Does Hashem, if Hashem knows, which he certainly is supposed to, then either he decided to do it or decided not to do it. Where does tefillah come in? Where does tefillah come in? So we're going to explore it a little bit from inside, see it from the parashas, and we'll get a sense of it. The first one in Shmos, last week's parasha, Akadosh Baruch Hu promised Avram his children would become slaves, they would live in a land that's not theirs, they would suffer terribly, and he would redeem them. That's what he promised, that's what he said. The pasuk, in the parasha of the Gula, there's this little parasha. It says, "Vayomer Ab Mahim, Vayomas Melach Mitzrayim, Vayonchub Nei Yisrael Min Avoyde Vayizaku." So Klal Yisrael groaned and they cried out, "Vatal Shavos Melachim Min Avoyde," and their cries went up to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Vayishma Elokim Hakadosh Baruch Hu heard. Vayiska Elokim Esprisoi as Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. Vayar Elokim Esay Yisrael. Vayeda Elokim. So this little interlude over here is really sort of the linchpin for Gula, and the question is why? I mean, Hakadosh Baruch Hu not only knew they were suffering. Hakadosh Baruch Hu had said long before this parasha that they would suffer terribly. He obviously there was some sort of kates in mind. Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cared about the pain of Klal Yisrael and so on. What does it mean? Eventually, comes our customs, comes priests, and so on and so forth. What happened here? That's something really needs to be understood. I would also, it's interesting the way it's described. Vayonchub Nei Yisrael Min Avoda, Klal Yisrael groaned, Vayizaku, they cried out, Vatal Shavasan Lakim, and it went up to Shemayim. What was that piece? What happened exactly? They cried out, and then the cry went up to Shemayim. The Chumash speaks about very specific things. It's not an accident. When we go back, and every time we bring Bikurim, we reenact Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we reenact it to such a degree that this becomes the formula for our Yetzias Mitzrayim. Pesach night, we don't say Shmos. Maybe it's a little bit on the long side. Say it as long anyway. Maybe Shmos would be very long. We say Parshas Kisavo with the Torah Shabbat, Torah Shabbat Peh. So in Torah, in the Parshas Bikurim, we recite every year a thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we give a very, very concise overview of what happened. So really only significant things. It says, we went down to Mitzrayim, Vayishon Begay Gadol, Pasuk 1, Vayareyu Oysana Mitzim, Vayinu Yitzan Levered Akasha, we suffered terribly, second Pasuk, Vanitzak El Hashem Kereseinu, Vayishma Hashem Eskoleinu, Vayaras Anyem Eskoleinu Sachseinu, and then Vayitzen Hashem Mitzrayim. So you've got every significant point, and very concise. It's a masterfully concise formula. We went to Mitzrayim, we were enslaved, Kadosh Baruch Hu took us out, brought us out to Yisrael. And this piece in the middle that we davened, and that's where Kadosh Baruch Hu took us out. So you see, it's not just sort of, it's not only in the long version, it's in the short version. Very, very specific point. One more point I'd like to raise, something in the davening, maybe 2 points. We say Shema Koleinu as the end of the Bakashas of Tzrachim. Shema Koleinu Hashem Elokeinu. There's something very redundant about it. Let me give you a little bit of a muscle, I guess, something that comes to mind when I'm trying to phrase why it's redundant. When I bought my first house in America, and I finally realized that Israeli bureaucracy has its match in America, there was a sheaf of documents this thick to sign. So, document after document after document. There's one document that says, I've read through all the other documents, and I'm aware of what it says, and I'm signing on it. And I said to myself, this is the most ridiculous thing I ever saw. Because if you're choshed that you're just signing without reading, so this was the 95th document, I also did this over here. Like, what am I signing when I'm signing that document that says that I know, that I read everything carefully and I know what it says? Well, you signed every document, so you could be, if you were careless, you're careless here, and if you're not careless, then what? We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're asking every single one. We're saying, Hashiveinu, and Atachonein, and so on and so forth. Now, what's Shema Koleinu? I mean, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't in the mood to listen the first time, so a bus of a dumb, if you nudge long enough, if it doesn't go with nudging once, you know you nudge a second time, third time, until you either get thrown out or until the person acquiesces. Those are your choices. What's with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? There's nothing specific in Shema Koleinu. I mean, it's sort of a generic rehash of what we had before. So what exactly is the Tefillah Shema Koleinu? And we say every day. One more hour in Tefillah, I guess, if we're on it. On a Tainis, we say Aneinu, and we say, there's a pasuk we ask, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers, you know, Terem Ekra Vani Ene. Before the Klal Yisrael calls, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already answered them. It's a nice turn of phrase, but what does it mean? If I say, I granted your request before you requested it, basically I mean you didn't request it. In other words, it's just a nice way of saying it. So for a bus of a dumb, it's a nice way of saying the guy was very prompt, cared a lot. What do we mean by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So why is that called Vani En? Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu answering? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides me with health, it's not the pshat, he's answering my tefillahs, he's providing me with health without my asking. Those are the points that I want to sort of talk about and discuss. So let's start with an important distinction between two midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that sound alike to us, but really, really are very different. One is called chesed, and one is called rachmi. Chesed is usually seen as the mid of Avraham Avinu, rachmim as Yaakov Avinu's midah, amongst many different midahs, Torah's in his midah, Emes, Rachamim is also one of the midahs attributed. To us, chesed and rachmim is generic, kind of being nice. But the truth is, chesed and rachmim are very different. Chesed is a personal need for the person who's giving. So, LaMarshall, I'm sitting, and I have abilities, I have talents, I have assets, and I feel I don't want to keep things for myself. I don't want to just, I want to live a life that's meaningful, and if I have, I want to do good things with it. So I go and I help other people, whether if it's talents, I help them with some of my talents, if it's assets, I help them with the assets, and so on and so forth. That's the mid of chesed. The mid of rachmim is when I walk in the street and I see somebody hungry, cold, faint, I bend over, I feed him, I pick him up, or help him. So rachmim is mercy on someone. Chesed is kindness. Kindness is a personal type of need, and rachamim is specific to that person. In other words, the person aroused in me a certain sense. On the surface of it, we're a lot happier. We feel a little, in some ways, we feel a little bit belittled. If somebody's merachim on me, somebody says, "Oh, I see you're having a very hard time with the Gemara. Let me help you." So there's a little bit of, you know, kind of, whereas if a person is just saying a shir, or a person is helping everybody, I don't feel so down. And it sounds to us like chesed is a much more sweeping midah and something we prefer. It's true in a certain way, but it's also very untrue in another way. Because chesed is very impersonal. I mean, we were young, that was the days of the hippies. One hippie asked his girlfriend, "Do you love me?" And she said, "Of course, I love everybody." So when somebody loves everybody, it's wonderful. There's nothing, me as a person, there's no relationship there. I'm not in any way affected personally by it. So I'm nene from it. It's nice. So if a person decides as a chesed project, he's giving everybody $1,000. So it's nice. We all line up. Everybody gets $1,000. That's fine. But I don't feel the giving was solely the action of the person giving. I had a chav of mine, a big Talmud Chacham and a very astute person. He was building a sukkah and somebody walked by and says, "May I help you build a sukkah?" And something struck him a little bit odd about the way he said it. He said, why do you ask? He said, "I decided to do more chesed. I need to do more chesed." So the person said, "Oh, so I'm the object of your mitzvah." In Hebrew, it's, I'm the chefzah shel mitzvah. There's another version of it. A chassidish rebbe once said, if you're mevaka chola somebody, the chola does not become a chefzah shel mitzvah. He's not an object upon which you are commanded to do a mitzvah with. So I have a mitzvah to visit you and a mitzvah to care for you, but the you could have been anyone as long as it fits that halachic criteria of a chola. There's something that we get from that person a physical help. We get things from the person who's doing chesed, but what we don't get is the sense of a person caring for me, which in a certain sense is the deepest thing that a person can ask for. Rachamim, as much as it has its limitation, where it's not pleasant to be weak and in need, but the fact that the person has specially cares about me, and the person turns to me and says, "I'd like to help you," because he saw that I needed something, that's a very, very special. It not only do I get the help, I get the sense of the person caring for me as a person. So chesed and rachma, two midos. Each one has things the other one doesn't have. But on this nakuda of having that sense of person to person, and in some ways it's the deepest thing, more than the person needs. Things he needs to have that personal relationship. One of the things they've made many studies about children growing up in institutions, Lo Leino or Yasim or whatever other reason, versus kids growing up in homes. And no matter how well institutions run, it never matches up with a home, no matter, even if it's a home with issues, unless the issues are terribly severe, it's preferable. And one of the reasons is, as my wife once expressed it, a typical mother makes usually 3 or 4 variations of the food, because this one doesn't like spices, this one's like onions, this one likes sugar, this one like this. You can't run an institution like that, and you have one size fits all. You try your best. And there's no harm in eating more vegetables, less vegetables, but the sense that nobody cares, the sense that someone cares about your taste, and somebody deliberately tailored something for you, because of you, is something that is invaluable in terms of what it's giving. So we have one midah of chesed, one midah of rachmim. Each one has something significant, and we're focusing on rachmim. Everybody gets from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything we get is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Esav had brachas, and the bracha is Shmani Aretz Meshavecha. You will sit on fat land. You won't even notice that anybody's giving you anything. Everything will be okay, no problems. Just sit, and the corn grows, and you harvest it, and everything's wonderful. Yitzchak's bracha is a little different. Yaakov's bracha is a little different. It's V'yiten lecha Elokim, that you shall always feel that there's a gift in it, that somebody's giving you. Who's better, the child that doesn't need any gifts, or the child that gets many things he needs as a loving gift? Obviously, the second child is much better off, because even though sometimes he may not get everything he needs, but whatever he gets, it comes with a certain element of love, of care of him as a person. The vehicle for creating that type of relationship is tefillah. Tefillah is called rachmi. Rachmim, and it says everybody needs to daven because everybody needs rachmi. It's rachmim because when we ask for something and we have the sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered us, then whatever he gives comes with that package. It's in other words, when you asked for something, then when it comes for you. When you didn't ask for it, we would think in a very shallow way that if we got everything we needed without even having to daven for it, that would be much better. Davening isn't so favored anyway, and if we can get everything we need, it's just that we're threatened that if we don't daven, we might not get it. But it's much worse. If we don't daven, we might get it, but we're going to get it as an institution. Okay, God gives rain for everybody, because there's animals that need rain, and there are frogs that need rain, so if there are people that need rain, the same Adrega, they also get rain. But the rain is not a message. When it clicks in, where you ask for it and you were answered, asking, request and answer provides that dimension of connectivity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a Nisim. That's where tefillah comes in. Tefillah is the vehicle where it comes in as a personal relationship. The all the mitzvahs that we do, they are commandments. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us. To do this, this, and that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was standing there, told everybody to do it, and everybody's doing it. So it's a relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's a relationship HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke in Sinai, and everybody that heard it, that was there, listens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and does what he told us to do. Tefillah is the only one where we use the personal address to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Baruch Atah. We say Baruch Atah Hashem Akeinu Melech Ha'olam, and it finishes off in third person. Borei Pri Ha'etz, Borei Pri Adam, and so on. So when we look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu creating the fruit and the bread and so on, it's objective. He did it for everybody. He didn't create apples for me. But every Birchas HaNenin is triggered by a personal sense. When I'm gratified by something, I feel that it was meant for me. I felt that Kadosh Baruch Hu reached out to me and gave me the pleasure of taste, of food, and so on. So every bracha contains in itself a description of God as the objective great one, in Emes HaChesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And every bracha, the Baruch Atah part of it, is the personal sense of you've reached out to me specifically. Apples, there are millions for everybody. The taste that I have, the hanah that I have, the Rezan Enin, is me specifically. So, let's go back to the points that we raised. Klai Yisrael Mitzrayim, the beginning, this is the process of creating a Klal Yisrael. If we would not be part of the picture, then we would, that means Klal Yisrael is an entity not different than any other nation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to all nations. Every nation has where they had it rough, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped. But that's kind of very objective. And we would be just another one like that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu built it into the system that it started with our reaching out to Him. And listen to where the pasuk says, "Va'yanchum esom avoda," they groaned, "Va'yizaku," they yelled out, "Va'tal shavosam lekim." In other words, when a person is suffering, he cries. But you don't always cry to someone if you don't have to whom to cry. And as long as Klal Yisrael didn't cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it didn't get there. In other words, it wasn't reaching its point. When we cry out and we said, "Hey, there's somebody there that should care for us. Where are you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu?" That's where the tefillah accomplished what it was meant to accomplish. It touched base HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look at the pasuk, "Vayanchu," which means anybody working groans, "Vayizaku," you scream out, but "Vatal shavasam lekim," and it reached up and went up there. That's why it's so significant when we recap the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim. In those psukim and kisavo, we're not talking only about we had hardships and we were saved. The Parshas Kisavo is a personal vidui of every single person on seeing the first fruits. It's hakaras hatoiv. It's re-answering Kadosh Baruch Hu. It says vanisa v'amarta, you should respond. Vanisa v'amarta means respond to the message you got. So we say, in short, we had a terrible situation. We reached out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu reached out to us, and now we're here. Without that peace, it's a very different world. It's a world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chasadim, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is full of chesed, but there's nothing personal about chesed. We'd be missing the main dimension that we have over here in when it's tefillah. In Shemoneh Esrei, we ask for many things, and we hope we're answered. Shema Koleinu, I think, is another dimension. It says, answer us in a way that we understand you heard us, that you responded to us. Give it to us in a way that we feel that all of the things we've asked for was a response on your part, and you're responding to me. If every tefillah was answered always, tefillah would just be a button to trigger chesed. We don't know how it works, but you know, you can push a button and sprinklers will sprinkle water. So maybe tefillah. Oh, so I guess we got carried away. What? You press a button, something happens, and you know, and it's automatic. You don't think that someone's doing it. but when sometimes a person responds, I'll give you an example. If there's a person in your life who always brings you food, always, he's a waiter. The waiters never say, you know, I'm just not in the mood today, or else they're not waiters for very long. So waiters always respond all the time. Your close friend responds 90% of the time, because sometimes he's just too tired and he's not mechuyev to do it. But when he responds not because it's his job, not because he's paid for it, but because he's doing it for you. So the relationship through tefillah with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the fact that it's not meant to be automatic, and if it be automatic, it would defeat the purpose of it. But it's meant to add a dimension that when it does happen, would you have been answered without the tefillah? Maybe yes, maybe not, but you wouldn't have been answered. You would have had it, but you just have the apple without a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You'd have the health without a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You'd have the wealth without a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's terrible. That's Esav. So you live a life with no one else in your life. Tefillah is the ability to incorporate a personal relationship with a Kadosh Baruch Hu in everything that transpires between us. It's to take HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of a chesed mode and incorporate the relationship with Rachmim, which is so much deeper and so much more meaningful to us. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded to me, and the sense of that is, Tem Yikru Vani Ene, means even though I haven't asked for it, my sense is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responding. He's responding to an unvoiced request. But that sense I get, that's the ultimate, where I can feel it. Even it's like when somebody sees you need something and he brings it to you, you know it's because he sensed you needed it, but you didn't even have to ask him. But it's called ani ene, I responded. It's not I gave. I responded to a request that you were beginning to formulate and hadn't formulated yet. It's something to be misbonin. I know tefillah is hard, and there are many reasons why it's hard. And each of the facets of why it's hard needs to be worked on, discussed, and thought about. It is probably our most regular connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As long as we're in yeshiva, we learn the vast majority of the day, but as we move out, learning becomes more of a kviyasitim and less full-time. Tefillah is very, very kavua. And tefillah has many aspects, whether it's the not understanding the words, whether it's the fact that it's so regular, and so on, that make it difficult. But at least we need to appreciate what we're doing. It's not that a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't know without our asking what we need. It's not that a Kadosh Baruch Hu needs us to beg Chas V'Shalom like some sadist, unless if a guy nudges long enough, it's worth the money, just get rid of him. None of that exists by Kadosh Baruch Hu. But what exists by Kadosh Baruch Hu is a relationship. And the relationship manifests itself as a request, a voice request, and an answer to that request. And if we're able to understand that, if we're able to understand how tefillah turns our life, three times a day, we take everything we need, and we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu will grant most of it anyway, but we turn it into a personal thing, it makes everything so much more gratifying, so much deeper. Kadosh Baruch Hu should help us. We should gain the pace we need in tefillah, the understanding, and we should have that relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu. The ultimate relationship is Terem Yikro Vaniena, that our relationship should be as request and answers, but even before we voice the request, Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us everything in a way that we understand it and perceive it as an answer to almost unvoiced requests. That's all.
Dropping. Okay.